Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNRadio.com/Behind the Badge.
Everybody, it's Dave Plyer here on 720 WGN. We're going to be talking beer, pie, and movies. You can't get any better than that. Mike Siegel, Innovation Manager from Goose Island, will join us to talk about the highly anticipated Bourbon County Stout releases for 2020. Beer made in bourbon barrels, and it is a classic. People wait in line for hours in years past, and even days to get their first bottles on Black Friday. And always fun, and we'll make it fun for you as well. Kevin Powell from WGN Sports is also going to join us, a beer and bourbon connoisseur himself. So we'll do a little tasting with him. Then we'll talk Thanksgiving dessert with the folks from Bang Bang Pie, the 100th anniversary of Radio with Steve Darnall of Nostalgia Digest, and a new documentary just being released on DVD called The Definitive Story of the Movie Palace, and much more. But first, the three big Chicago franchises, Chicago Fire, Chicago PD, and Chicago Med, are back and bigger than ever. It's the Wednesday night block on NBC that just keeps on giving. And to talk about it all, two of the stars of Chicago Fire, my pal is Chris Stolte, and David Eigenberg, are both on the Team Hochberg phone line. What's up, gents?
How you doing, Dave?
What is going? How's the pandemic been treating you, everyone in your respective families? Are you healthy, doing well? David, let's start with you.
No, I've been good. I've been really good. You know, it's what I would call quality time with my family, but they seem to like it when I go into another room or upstairs. So my quality and their quality is sometimes different. But no, it's been nice to spend a lot of time with family. You know, and everything's kind of obviously shut down, but you know, life is good, and it's, you know, we make the best out of all this stuff.
How about you, Chris? What's been going on with you?
I've been enjoying whatever upside there is to all of this. You know, let's hope that by the time we pull out, we will say we've seen the worst of it. Although I understand we're in for a pretty rough winter. But, yeah, I'm like David. I'm just pushing the limits on how much of me my family can take. And I guess we'll find out.
I guess so. I guess I know. It's just this year sucks. It just is an odd year. Like, I always think about, like, when we go back and look at Facebook posts, social media pictures, whatever, like, in 5 years, what are we going to be thinking about this? Like we survived this? Like what, you know, what's your vision on all this, Chris? Like, on how we're going to look back at this? You know, I saw Christmas cards, like, being sent to my house, like to buy Christmas cards, and it's like pictures of kids with masks on in the pictures. Like, really?
Yeah. I mean, it's going to be. Listen, it might be optimistic on our part. I look at all the Facebook memes and things that say, and one of them was sort of clever. It said something like, "I wonder if I want to ask my mom if that offer to knock me into next year is still on the table." Which is funny, but it all starts with the premise that next year everything's going to be okay.
Yeah, okay.
And I'm not sure we're in any position to assume that. But I guess how we look back on it is going to depend on how we recover from it.
Sure.
It seems like there's a chance, if things never get back to what we considered normal, there's a chance that this will just be the before and after turning point.
Yeah.
That all references to all things will have an assumed, you know, which side of the line did this fall on? But hopefully we get back to enough of a recognizable normal that we'll just sort of exhale and say, well, that was rough and we made it through.
Yeah, I think that's fair. And David, you said you like being with your family too. Like, what did you learn about yourself in all this? I've kind of asked myself that question too, but like, you know, what have you, you know, learned to appreciate and do during all this?
Well, you know, the one thing is, like, because we didn't have a lot of distractions in the world, I find myself, my mind wandering off while I'm talking to my kids, kind of like, not instinctually, but habitually. And I realized that I don't need to wander off in my thoughts because there's nothing going on. Mm. So I did try on occasion, probably only 15% more of the time, to give my kids full undivided attention, which they kind of respond to. You know, it's kind of like, I heard one thing, not that I'm comparing myself, but I find it compelling. Somebody I knew that worked with the Clinton administration, that Bill Clinton's like ace in the hole was when he looked at people, anybody, he gave you 100% of his attention, and that it was mesmerizing. Like when he walked into a room, he was present and it took over a room. And when he talked to you, people felt really special. So I'm no Bill Clinton, and I've got no secretaries or assistants running around in my Oval Office with me. But I like to take that as a thought in passing. But the interesting thing, too, was that, you know, in this passing thing of what happens further down the road, 9/11 came around, and my 11-year-old said to me, so what happened on 9/11? And I was like, well, I tried to start to explain it, and then he was like, why would people fly a plane or planes into a building? And it's kind of that generational thing, and I kind of explained it better. But it's just interesting that as time goes on, certain things are hard to translate, you know, because it's like, you know, well, there's terrorism. You know, the 11-year-old kind of doesn't get it, terrorism. And, you know, so I wonder what will happen in time is our perception.
But I like what you're saying about the focus time, because I agree with you 1,000%. I mean, I got 3 kids, and you know, yeah, life moves very fast during what we considered normal time. So to be able to not be distracted by work or phone calls or texts coming in or new stuff popping in on your phone or things going on in the house, that new focus, I think I agree with you that that's like a new appreciation, not only on the receiving side, but on the giving side as well, you know?
But I'm not washing dishes. Who's washing dishes as we're doing this? Wow. Chris, are you washing dishes?
I'm in studio.
No, I did all the dishes at around 3 in the morning last night. I'm not even joking.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah, there's no new time to get up or stay up or stay late or whatever. Nope. Like, it's just a random. So what are you watching, like Mannix in the middle of the night when you're up doing dishes? What are you doing, Chris?
Oh, I'll tell you. I discovered a new show. My buddy Michael Malley is in a show called Wayne.
Hmm.
And I just got through the first 3 episodes of it last night. It is a brutally funny, very original show. Highly recommended.
Nice. Yeah. Nice.
Since you asked, that's what I was watching.
Yeah. What have you learned in all this?
I remember when we came back from our extended hiatus, you were talking about having no real accountability and not having to rise at any particular hour or be anywhere or anything like that. So when we came back to work, and like one of my first calls was like, okay, you got to be downtown at 5 o'clock in the morning. And my first thought was, how dare they?
Started controlling my life now.
How dare they assign me a place to be and a time to be there? I kind of forgot that's how jobs work.
Yeah. We've been lulled into a different sense of reality these last few months. It's Chris Stolte. It's David Eigenberg from NBC Chicago Fire. They're with us on the phone line, and there's more when we come back on 720 WGN. Stay Flyer on 720 WGN. We're talking to my pals David Eigenberg and Chris Stolte from NBC's Chicago Fire. The Chicago Trilogy airs Wednesdays at 7 Central on NBC. You were talking a little bit about getting back to the set. I mean, Chris, how excited were you? I know you saw 5 o'clock in the morning. Okay, I get that part. But at least to be with other people, even distance, and see these people you haven't seen in months, that might have been pretty cool, right?
Oh, yeah, it was great. But what always happens with this group, because there's been such an intense and prolonged exposure to each other, you know, over the years, it always feels like we just left. Okay. And this wasn't even an exception, to be honest with you. When I walked through base camp the first day I was back, it really did not feel like returning to my hometown after a long time away.
Yeah.
It just felt like I had just been there.
Mm. Wow. Okay, because, I mean, you guys stopped production, was it early March? I mean, when did you guys stop? Because there was no cliffhanger. That's the thing about all your shows, by the way. There's always some crazy-ass cliffhanger that happens. It didn't happen this year because you just stopped. That was March or February? I can't remember.
Yeah, mid-March. Yeah, mid-March. I had aged so much in the hiatus when I came back. It was more of like, for me, like a return of Martin Gare. And they were like, are you really David Eigenberg? Because, and I said,
right.
Yes. And then there was this whole thing whether I really was him. But then when I did my shtick, they went, oh, yeah, that's the same old dumb Eigenberg
shtick. No, that,
right, Chris?
That question's still not resolved as far as I'm concerned.
Wow, weeks in. And then people still don't have the confidence that you are he.
I'm wary. I approach him warily.
Nice.
Yeah. It's weird staring at people with masks on all the time because we're like hyper-vigilant. Well, I shouldn't say hyper. We are necessarily and appropriately vigilant about you know, safety and keeping everybody safe and doing the best we can. So, you know, we have masks all the time, and it's weird, you know, because we've known each other all these years without a mask. It's not like I wonder how they felt when they did Batman, the TV show, you know,
the
Adam West, and
but you do have
saw each other in person.
You do have to recognize people a little differently. Obviously, above the mask, you got to know what that person looks like. The worst thing, I think, even to the people that you know, David, is that you have to figure out what their expressions are. Are they laughing? Are they smiling with you? Are they sad?
Right,
you can't, right?
Right?
I mean, that's probably the biggest struggle for me anyway.
I look at that as actually a benefit. That because I'm flipping it around,
okay.
You know what I mean. I no longer have to pull the strings of social machinery to put on the appropriate expression to prepare a face to meet the faces that I meet.
So you're digging this?
Yeah. It's pretty nice. I mean, I can go ahead and let it be. I'm gonna be thrown off guard when the masks come off. Frankly,
what's wrong with Chris? What's that face for?
Yeah, I'll be exposed. That's right.
I just immediately assume that people are disappointed or disgusted with me, and I'm basically playing, you know, contrition for all the things I've thought or said or done in my life.
Yeah.
So it's kind of a repentant time for me.
It is.
Although it's hard to be around because people are like, what's wrong with you? And I'm like, oh, I know you know what I did.
Yeah, just me. It's just who I am.
Although on our job, there's the weird phenomenon of sometimes somebody has like 4 seconds of business with you where they have to explain something, then they go on their way or whatever. I feel like I've had a handful of conversations where the conversation comes and goes, and I have no idea who I just spoke to. And I realize it doesn't matter. It's fine.
Name tags or names on the front of the mask is it may be a good thing. Are you guys making a fashion statement?
I'm surprised we don't have that.
Yeah, right. Making fashion statements with your mask? Or are you just doing the hospital looking ones? Or are you doing stuff?
I just grabbed whatever's closest to the door.
Okay, yeah.
My wife made a lot of them in the beginning. She became obsessed. She was very nervous about, you know, the kids getting sick. Not so much me, but and then at one point the kids, my son said to her, "Why are you so worried about us? You should be worried about Dad. He has asthma and he's elderly."
Oh, you got the elderly label.
Yeah, he called me elderly. But
elderly.
Making elderly. Yeah. An elder.
Yeah, that's
I think
I speak
myself
as
an elder. Pardon?
Right. It's but just two letters different, but man.
Yeah.
Exactly. Well, yeah, there's a difference between elderly and elder.
Mm-hmm.
No.
Mm-hmm.
Right. All right. Forget it. All right. Well, I'm going with mine. but she made obsessively. She made like 1,000 masks. She would stick them on the fence out front for people.
That's cool.
1,000 of them. Not exaggerating. She would not stop. You'd always hear the sewing machine in the living room going.
She found a purpose. Found a purpose in all this.
Yeah. But she would make some for the family that were like had flowers and rosy things on them, and then they would have profanity tucked into them, like "stay blank away from me or 6 feet blank away from me. And I've worn those to work, and that probably HR will call me, or I'm outing myself right now.
Oh,
they'll
like
call
that.
Me anyway.
No, we need to laugh right now. I dig that. I dig that. But you know, watching the series back, it does look pretty normal, you know, to all of us watching the viewers and stuff of Chicago Fire. But I think about this, too. You're in your ninth season. I mean, that's huge, guys.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's crazy.
MASH was 9 years. But then when you're a kid watching it, that seemed like an eternity. And then when you're in your 50s, it seems really quick.
I bet. Yeah, no, I know. I'm the same way. Yeah. But, like, I think Emergency was only on 5 years, so you've already beat and kicked their ass right off the charts.
Oh, we may have the record for Fire shows. I didn't even think about that.
Yeah. Already. And you've been renewed for a while, so, I mean, that's pretty cool. But now, no cliffhangers, as we said, but you carry...
Yeah, they pulled the plug really quickly.
Yeah, right?
What was significant, really, among other things, but what's significant is we did not get to say a proper goodbye to Annie Alonza, who we missed and loved and adore, and she deserved an exit story.
Gotcha. Yep. Yeah, so those are the bummers.
It was amazing.
Yeah. But there's going to be some crossovers. I mean, I'm assuming that was a big part of this trilogy, is you got to see people from Med and PD. I'm sure you'll still see glimpses of this throughout the season in some way, right?
Well, here's the thing. There's a difference between just somebody crossing over and appearing on one of the other shows, which is continuing to happen. But the actual logistics of a story crossover, you know, where you sit down for one night and you watch three shows and the story is told across those three shows, top to bottom, that's a bit of a logistical nightmare, and it throws every single person into sort of a tailspin. But we don't have any of those on our plate immediately. But I know there's, you know, the ultimate design is to work towards doing that again. I think with all of the extra precautions we have to take, you know, everybody's day is expanded a little bit because your day usually starts with testing. And, you know, and that's a bit of a factory process. One of the stages at CineSpace has been surrendered to that process. So, yeah, it's to add to that, doing a crossover episode, I just feel like right now it just would be overwhelming.
But for that 3 hours, I mean, you already kind of feel, you know all these people. You've been watching these shows for years. They all take place in the city. It all does, regardless if there's crossover of stories, it does feel like kind of a seamless 3 hours, you know?
Yeah, and I feel like the compromise between the two is a little cross-pollination, a little sprinkling of cast member from show A into show B and all of that.
What about your Thanksgivings? That's coming up. Are you guys going to you just kind of keep it low key? You getting together at least with your kids and stuff like that? Chris, what are you doing?
Well, I guess we're still trying to figure that out. It's what our options are. I've got my older daughter and her three kids live not far from us. And so there's been, it's been great having, we sort of decided to be a pod.
Yeah.
And it's been great to just have their company and the little kids, the oldest of which just turned 4, and they're struggling. They're getting through it better than I would have. Certainly they're brave. They're wearing their masks. They're sucking it up and they're, you know, at kids that age, they're not really too aware. They don't have much context for what's going on. We don't know. I don't know how we're piecing together Thanksgiving. My older daughter, we were talking about just food in general, and it is my inclination. I would order out or go out to eat for two meals a day. But my older daughter happens to be a wonderful chef.
Oh, and, lucky
and
you.
And she bakes and cooks, and it's been pretty great. But so I don't know how we're going to deal with all that. But, you know, she's in her senior year of high school, my younger daughter, and she's killing it. She's killing it.
Yeah, good for her.
I don't know how she's doing it. It's tragic to me to have this be your senior year of high school. You know, she's a pretty social kid and all of that, but she is handling this like a champ.
Well, I hope she gets to graduate and do it in front of people. So hopefully by, you know.
I do, too. You know, I do, too. Well, we'll see what happens, how real the vaccine situation is and all of that. But you know, Thanksgiving, I'll take it however it comes. It's really more about keeping the head down and trying to find the light at the end of this tunnel.
Yeah. David, how about you?
Well, Chris, it sounds so rich and full and amazing, and I'm really happy for you. I live here in a house with my wife and two kids, and I have yet to be invited to Thanksgiving dinner.
Oh, Chris,
so
awkward.
I don't really know if I'll be with my family or not. They prefer a lot of times that I go in the garage and work on things, but maybe they'll come around.
They slide a plate under the door.
I can't bring much. Yeah, but what are you going to do, Dave?
Well, we usually
I feel really bad about myself right now.
We can switch the subject a little. You usually go downstate with family, but we're not doing that. I mean, we play football and do all that. I mean, we're not doing that either. So, I have one cousin.
You're like the Kennedys.
Not quite. But we're going to probably just get together with one local family that we already kind of in that bubble, like you said, with your daughter, they're in the bubble, and we're gonna hang out, and that'll be it. I mean, it's a bummer, but you know, traditions just have to wait for one more year. We can do it. Well, there you have it. Chicago Fire, Chicago PD, Chicago Med, all air new episodes Wednesday nights at 7 Central on NBC. Always a pleasure, gents. And if we don't talk, hope you and your families have a great Thanksgiving, man.
You too, Dave. Be well, be safe, and we'll talk to you soon.
Sounds good. Thanks, guys.
All right. Love you guys.
Love you, too. All right. News is next on 720 WGN.